Good morning, everyone. It's so wonderful to see you here at Blount Springs. If you're visiting with us, we want to welcome you. And we're going to have an amazing time this morning lifting up the name of the Lord. Amen.
I know a name that can silence roaring waves. I know a name that can empty out a grave. I know a name. It's the only name that saves, and it's worthy of all praise. I call you Jesus. I call you.
Oh, great. cherished plans have failed, disappointments have prevailed, and we wandered in the darkness, heavy-hearted and alone. But we're trusting in the Lord, and according to His word, we will understand it better by and by.
Thank you.
God's amazing grace this morning.
Jesus bled and died for me. I see his wounds, his hands, his feet. My Savior, the curse of joy. His body bowed and drenched in tears. Joseph's tomb, the entrance sealed by heavy stone, Messiah still and all alone. Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise his name for.
This is the first Sunday of the month, which means our kiddos are staying in here with us unless they need nursery. Now, if they need nursery, the nursery is open. But the first Sunday of the month, we like for the kids to stay in here with us because I think it's absolutely important for them to see mom and dad worship. Amen. And they're always welcome in here, but so know that too. I mean, that's not something we just like to offer that. We think it's important. We think both things are important here at Blount Springs. Well, if you weren't here last week, you're in for a surprise, and we'll see what the Lord does with this, because last week I had a three-point sermon, three-truth sermon. I made it through the first one, and that was it. We did not go any further, so this week my ever ambition was to start at point two and then go forward, because there was just no way that I was going to do it any justice to finish it. But I don't want people to be confused either, so I am going to go back, and I'm going to go back to the beginning and introduce this sermon again, and then we're going to go quickly into truth one, and then we'll start at truth two. If that's okay with you guys, I hope that'll honor the Lord this morning. So the title of this sermon is Quit Playing Christianity. It's something that is absolutely on my heart and on my mind, because unfortunately, we have, as humans, the ability to play Christianity as though it were a game, like Monopoly or something like that. I did it for years, years and years. So I absolutely know it's possible. I mean, I was really good. I was probably competitive at being good at playing this Christianity game. But I don't want to do that anymore. God deserves better than that. It's not a Christianity. Following Christ is not a game. He gave His life for us. And He doesn't deserve a game in return or some sort of flippant thing that we do. Chris has already read our text, Philippians 1, 21 through 26. And I talked about last week, and I'm going to flip this around because I think it's even better this way. We'll see. I talked about last week how I went alligator hunting down in Louisiana. While I was on the boat, they were talking about culture, and we got to talking about Mardi Gras. And the biggest takeaway that I had from Mardi Gras down there in South Louisiana was the fact that you could be anyone you wanted to be one day a year. You get to put on the mask and the costume and be. But now, last week, the way that I wanted to use that was, I wanted to use that as assuming you're a Christian 364 days a year, and then you're going to put the mask on and be your flesh one day a year. That's how I wanted to use that. I don't want to use that like that today. Today, I want to use it as 364 days a year, you're not a Christian. And one day a year, you go and you get your mask and you get your costume out of the closet and you're going to be Christian today. So that's how we're going to use the Mardi Gras mask illustration. Is one time a year, you dress up and pretend to be a follower of Christ. The central truth of this is serving Jesus should define our daily life, and living in the presence of Jesus should be our ultimate desire, to live, breathe, serve in the presence of Jesus Christ. That doesn't sound like a game, does it? That's not a game. And when that becomes true, when we seek that, death stops looking like loss. Our first truth was last week, if we're ready to quit playing the game, make Christ your life. That's strong. Maybe why it took me so long to get through that truth. Make Christ your life. And the verse that was off of was verse 21. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. That's living or dying. There's a centerpiece, and the centerpiece is Jesus Christ. Whether I take breath or whether I stop, Jesus is my central focus. He is my everything. That's what Paul says. Is that what we say? If you're not saved this morning, if you're not professing, this has nothing to do with you. There's no expectation. Zero expectation. You can't do this. But if you come in here, this is where my heart is. The person who came in here saying, I am a Christian, I can check that box. If there was a list, you know, I'm seeking, I'm a Christian, you can feel it. That's my heart. Because I think a lot of people would check that box. But this ain't got, What are you talking about? To live is Christ? To die is exciting? But that is Christianity. Should be. Make Christ your life. All right, well now, just as we promised, we're to the second truth. If you are ready to quit playing the game, we got to desire Christ more than earth. More than this world and all the things that are in it. They're all included. Okay? Let's read the first part of verse 23. Paul writes, "But I am hard pressed from both directions." What does this mean? I am torn. He is in the middle of something. Whether you're pulling from it, being pulled, or whether you're in a press like this, he's right in the middle. He is hard pressed. And what is he hard pressed from both directions? This is a man who isn't clinging, compromising, doing things to save his life, but he's also not a man who is trying to give his life, take his life. He's not suicidal, even though it sounds like he's pretty wild in what he's saying. He's right in the middle of those two places. He is genuinely torn between where to serve Jesus. This is his dilemma. Jesus, where do you want me to serve you? I'm tore slap up about it. Do you want me to serve you on this earth while I'm alive? Or do you want me to come up there to heaven and kneel down at your feet and sing praises to your name? What do you want me to do? And I'm torn. I don't care which one it is, but I'm ready to go. Now, are we torn? The Christians in here today, are we torn on this week in and week out, day in and day out? Are we getting up every day going, Jesus, what is it going to be today? I'm torn. You want me to serve you here on this earth today? Or are you ready to call me home and let me serve you up there? Or do we have this third option that Paul didn't talk about? My whole life I've had the third option. And if you wanted me to get torn, it'd have to be in there with the other two. That third option has a lot to do with Philip and his selfishness. I'm really interested in that third option. But I hope the Holy Spirit is calling me to a place where the third option is no longer important. I want it to be option one or option two because that's what I see is best. That's what I see is what Christ deserves. He says, having the desire to depart and be with Christ, for that is very much better. Notice what he does not say. He doesn't say, I desire relief from this struggle. I desire escape from this imprisonment. He says, I desire to be with Christ. I want to be with him. This is a relationship. This gets to the heart of why I'm concerned about my neighbors here in the South. Let's just make it simple. Everybody in here just about has had a boyfriend or a girlfriend, right? I mean, that's going to speak to just about universally everybody in here, right? If you're a girl and you had a boyfriend, or you're a boy and had a girlfriend, and it's been about a month since I last talked to them, we ain't been out on a date in 6 months. I ain't seen them. I ain't heard from them. Are they still your boyfriend? Are they still your girlfriend? You think, well, you're being stupid. Like, what are you talking about? Well, I challenge you to look at your relationship with Jesus Christ. When's the last time you talked to him? Yet he's your Savior? When's the last time you cared to do anything for him? That's real, by the way. I'm not being crazy. That's logical. And I challenge you to think about it. And I'm not being a legalist. I've been called a legalist a lot here lately. I'm an obedientist. Because that's what the Bible teaches. Show me where Jesus doesn't hold us accountable. Show me where he doesn't say, follow me. That takes steps. That's not being a legalist. It's doing what he said for you to do. I'm tired of that. Paul is not in love with a location. He's in love with a person. The person of Jesus Christ. That's mature Christianity. That's not a joke. I'm tired of living the joke. Many believers, including myself, talk about heaven like it's a retirement program. I can't wait to get up there. I'm tired of this job. I'm tired of working down here. I'm tired of all this junk. Full-time vacation, baby, eternal. I'm going up there, ain't going to do no work no more. Ain't going to be sick. Tired of this running nose. Tired of these things. When I get to heaven, it's going to be good. And not one time. Jesus don't even come up in that. It's all about me. I can't wait. What's my mansion going to look like? Wonder how big the streets of gold might be plucking up one of them bricks. You know what I'm saying? I'll keep that in my back pocket. Sell that thing. What about the Crystal Sea? Ain't any fish in that place? I love to hunt and fish. Nothing wrong with all that. But what are we doing? That's about us. Selfishness. Y'all just saying that we're going to sing praises to Jesus forever. Does that sound good? Because that's more logical. That's more of the promise than 8-pound bass in the Crystal Sea. What do you want? And if Jesus ain't what you want, I think you're going to be real disappointed when you get to heaven. Am I wrong? Y'all looking at me like I'm wrong. Am I wrong? Did I get okay? It is very much better, in Paul's words, not because of what is removed, but because who is present. Death is gain because it brings him, it ushers him like a raft on the middle of, on the front of a flood into the presence of Jesus Christ. That's why death is good. Here I come. Jesus, the one I've been looking for this whole time. The one I'm working for while I'm here and the one I'm longing to see when I'm not. That's why death has no sting. So you doing me a favor, big guy. I've been wanting to see him for a long time. You tell him it's going to be today. What you waiting for? That's mature Christianity. That's not a game. Paul isn't trying to leave the earth. He simply loves Jesus more than the earth. He loves Jesus more than... Let me make it personal for Philip real quick. I'm not talking about anybody else. He loves Jesus more than 1,000-acre tracts of land. He loves Jesus more than a 2026 F-250. He loves Jesus more than a brand new Benelli shotgun. He loves Jesus more than a 13-inch gobbler here in a month and a half. Y'all are laughing. I'm being real serious. He loves Jesus more than anything that's contained here. And I want to too. Do you? Up to this point, you know, a salvation question is, well, you don't want to burn in hell forever, do you? But honestly, let's be straight up. I mean, if I put that question to you and we're in a conversation, I'm like, I mean, do you want to burn in hell forever? Who is going to say, yeah? I love the sound of that. You're talking about, I mean, my flesh is literally going to be charcoal for eternity. I like a good tan. Kind of cold-natured anyway. Nobody's saying that they want to burn in hell forever. That's not what we're talking about here. What I want to talk about is, do you want to be in the presence of Jesus forever or do you not? Because that's what hell really is. I don't know how hot it is. I don't know how cold it is. I don't know how big it is. I don't know how deep. I don't know any of that. I have no clue. But here's one thing I do know, and it's enough for me, that I'll be separated from God, the only thing good, forever. Not interested. Not interested. I want to be with Jesus forever. I want to be with God forever, in His presence, singing His praises, thanking Him for what He's done for me. That should be the motivation, not I'm avoiding some very horrific place that nobody wants to go. Verse 24, yet to remain on in the flesh is more necessary for your sake. So here's the balance. Paul wants to be with Jesus in the very physical presence, but he is willing to stay and to serve Jesus and to glorify Him right here and right now on this earth. Like, I really want to go, but Jesus, if the most important thing is for you to use me right here, I'll stay. If it's for you, I'll stay. Here's a good question for us. If Jesus walked in right now, if He opened through those double doors right now, walked in this congregation, and He says to each and every one of us, you can come with me immediately, right now, would you go? If you're questioning that, that's bad. I'm not going to say it's bad. I don't like that. That's subjective. I'm sorry. I retract that statement if we were in a court of law. If you don't know, then you're not here where Paul's at. Let me say that. I think that's a lot safer statement. And we're talking about mature Christianity. Would you hesitate? What would you need to finish first? Would you ask for just a few more minutes? Jesus, yeah, that's a great deal. But I'm going to need, like, give me 45 minutes. Can you wait? I think that answer, how we would answer that, reveals what we treasure in our heart. Let's see how Jesus responds to a very similar situation in the Bible. Matthew 8, 19 through 22. What time do we get out of church? 11:30? Fantastic. Matthew 8, 19 through 22. Then a scribe came and said to him, to Jesus, "Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "The foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay His head." Man, that's a sermon right there. That's a sermon in one verse. There's so much about that in the world. He didn't even have a place to stay. That's the God of all creation. But the Son of Man has nowhere to lay His head. Another of the disciples said to Him, "Lord, permit me first to go and bury my father." What do y'all think Jesus said? "Oh, it's okay. It's fine. I'll wait right here. It's all good." But Jesus said to him, "Follow me and allow the dead to bury the dead." Okay, I see you. This is serious. He didn't say, "Wait, I'll give you 5 minutes. Let's think about it. Let's talk about it. Let's have an argument about over, you know, what you should do." He said, "No, follow me. Let the dead bury their dead." What is that? It's a focus on Him and what He's called you to do, and not this world. Follow me. And you know, you can say that when you can back it up. You can say, "Follow me," and let everything else go, because He can handle all that, because He's God. Do we consider that? Do we go to the next level when God calls us to do something, that He's strong enough to fix the rest of it? To carry the pizza over there that you said you were going to go carry? Can God handle that? Yeah, He's got it. My God does. The focus is on follow me. Follow me. Jesus, if you want to follow me, let's go. Church, we got a decision to make. If our flesh is heavily involved, it ain't going to be easy. We're going to be looking back. Oh, man. But Jesus, what about this? What about this? What about this? What about this? If our spirit is filled, if we're filled with the Holy Spirit, this is what you're going to be doing. Hold up. I think I'm going to need to tie my shoes because I'm ready to go. Let's go. You got the rest of this. I'm ready to go. You said follow me. You said get in a truck. That's the old saying that I used to love when we was in high school. We said get in a truck with Pawpaw. What'd that mean? Load up because it's time to go. But would you? Or would you have a bunch of excuses to give him? Would you think about all the things in the world that you would lose? Paul wasn't worried about all that. Would you bury the dead or would you follow Jesus? That's kind of what it comes down to right there. So, death is experienced as gain only if Christ is your greatest desire. That's the only way you can look at death in the eye and smile. Because you see what it's just ushering you into his presence. It's just taking you right to his feet. But if you want Christian benefits, if you've signed up for, and if you've gotten the Christian line for the benefits of Christ, but not Christ himself, you're going to fear death. That's why I have such a, that's one of the reasons why I have such a problem with the prosperity gospel. It's about everything but Jesus. But in the end, he's the thing. Jesus is the thing, not what he can do for you. He's already done everything. He's paid it forward. If you want Christ, the opposite of what I just said, then death will not threaten you. So the truth of this is to desire Christ more than earth and the empty treasures it sells. You realize it's empty, right? Now I know it takes some re-education because that English wasn't going to be good. I've been re-educated a bunch of times, and I'm sure I got some more re-education ahead of me because the devil's so good at repackaging that same thing and selling it. And convincing me that this time, Philip, I promise I'm going to deliver. I just got it. You just don't go over there and do what Jesus told you to do. If you want, I got this for you. And you're going to love it. And when you open the box, there's really going to be something in there this time, I promise. He's a liar. So before we close today, we will not be going to truth three. Here's what's on my heart today. This is off the top. This is in my soul. I venture to say there's somebody in here that came in for whatever reason, and I don't care. I'm glad you're here, playing the game. What I've talked about sounds crazy. I want you to not play the game anymore today. I want you to do business with God. I want you to do business with Jesus. I want you to confess to him, I've been playing the game, but I'm tired of playing the game. I want you more than I want anything. I want you to be my Lord. I want you to be my Savior. I want you to forgive me of my sins. I want you to fill me with your Holy Spirit because that's the only hope I'm going to have in following you and doing this thing. That's what I call you today to do. You can do that business right where you are. You do not have to come down here to have that prayer, have that conversation with the creator of the universe. You can have that right there where you are. The most important part is to have it. Now, if I've talked you into confusion and you need me to unravel some things, you want to have a conversation before you have that, I'll be down front and we can talk about that. And then for the believers that are here, that's for the non-believers. That's the person that came in that has no point in their life where they can remember asking Jesus Christ to be their Lord and Savior. But for the rest of us, those that do have that point where we have asked Jesus to be our Lord and Savior, but we've strayed away and we've started playing the game instead of living for Christ, sold out, this morning will be a good time to pray. Confess that. That's sin. Confess that to Jesus Christ. Ask for forgiveness. And ask for Him to put you back on the track that you need to be on. I think those are at least two ways that we could respond this morning. Jeffrey and the team, y'all can come up. If you would, everybody else, would please go ahead and stand. And let's lift our voices like we believe that Jesus can hear us this morning. Can we do that? If you can't sing, I don't care. You're talking bad about a voice that God gave you. He deserves to be praised, church. So let's, if nothing else, if you don't have any other business to do, if you're in a good place, I want to hear your voices. I want to hear you worshiping. I want to hear you singing these praises. What are we singing?
I speak Jesus.
Let's speak Jesus for a few minutes as we close. He's worth it.
Oh, I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind. As I know there is peace within your presence, I speak Jesus. I just want to speak the name Jesus. Every dark addiction starts to break, declaring there is hope.
Your name.
Your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is life. Break every stronghold. Shine through the shadows. Burn like fire.
Your name.
Your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is life. Break every stronghold. Shine through the shadows. Burn like a fire.
Shout Jesus from Jesus.
Shout Jesus from the mountain. Jesus in the streets. Jesus in the darkness. The very enemy. Jesus for my family. I speak the holy name. Jesus.
Well, shout Jesus.
Shout Jesus from the mountain, Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy, Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus, your name is power, your name is free.
Can we get excited? Is that okay? Can we get excited about Jesus? Yeah. He's worth getting excited about. Let me say, has he saved your soul?
Amen.
Has he filled you with the Holy Spirit?
Amen.
Does he go before you?
Amen.
Does he go behind you?
Amen.
He's worth celebrating.
Amen.
I love him. Y'all?
Amen.
Can we sing the chorus one more time? You still got your guitar. Can we sing it one more time? It's 11:31. Is that okay? Let's sing it one more time. Sing through that chorus one more time.
Your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is high. Break every stronghold. Shine through the shadows. Burn like a fire.
Your name.
Your name.
Quit. Let's bow our heads.